Hey Bimbos, welcome back to another episode of Hospo Bimbo. I am your host Cassie, coming to you from America. Holy fucking shit nuts. I have moved back to the States. I'm living here again after 10 years. I don't know if I know how to do it. I've left New Zealand. It's been very emotional. I had all the intentions in the world to record this from the airport, but if I'm being completely honest, I was an emotional wreck. There was too much going on, emotionally, physically. I almost missed the first part of my flight. Literally had to sprint to my gate. I was the last person on. Everyone was pissed. You know, I was sitting on the window, so everyone had to get up and move, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, we got there in the end. I did make the flight. I am here. So obviously, being in another country for 10 years, I have accumulated, naturally. I have things, so I had to sell a lot of things. I had to consolidate. I had to get rid of a lot of things. I only brought 3 suitcases. So one of those suitcases, like I said, camera, audio gear, packed. I also had a carry-on that was camera and audio gear as well. And then one suitcase was like a little bit of artwork, you know, some trinkety things that have emotional value. And then the other suitcase was clothes and shoes. So imagine combining your whole entire life into 3 suitcases. Struggle. Very big struggle. What I will say though is it's also a big struggle when you have a problem with mugs. I love collecting mugs. I have a lot of coffee tools, a lot of, you know, glassware and things that mean a lot to me that I could not say goodbye to. So those had to come with me. There were some things that I did have to get rid of, unfortunately, but you know, things like, you know, I brought the 2-cup Chemex. I did leave the 6-cupper behind, the big boy. I brought, I think I brought like 4 or 5 mugs. The AeroPress, not glass, but you know, still a bit tricky. Brought the scales. I had to wrap these quite aggressively in clothes and put some of those in my carry-on. Every time that I go through security with my camera bag, I always get flagged. So of course I had to, you know, go off to the side and they had to go through it. And it was just a bit awkward when they were pulling out the 2-cup Chemex. I had like stuffed it with socks and it was wrapped around like a fucking jumper. And then I had I had a mug in there, and he's just pulling it out being like, what the fuck? And I'm just like, yep. But anyway, so that was interesting, bringing all that back. I did go through all my luggage last night, and luckily nothing broke. So that's a huge win for me. Before we get any further, I do just want to talk about my airport experience, because there was a few different things that I want to just highlight really quickly that has really stood out to me. I am the piece of shit that always has to order a filter coffee from the airplane. Look, I know that it's disgusting, I know, but it's kind of like this weird, it's kind of like when you go to a diner and you get a coffee, like, you know it's going to be trash, you know that that machine's never been cleaned, you know that that filter is from the 1800s, but you still do it anyway. It's all about the experience. It's kind of like getting a beer at the airport. This is another thing that I always have to do. For some reason, anytime I go to an airport, it's like I have to get a beer. It's part of the experience. If I don't get a beer, then I'm not traveling. Which is probably part of the reason why I was running late, is because had to get a beer, ran to the gate. Anyway, you know what? My mom ruined that for me. Mom ruined that whole entire thing for me, the drip coffee. And I'll tell you why, because she told me that airplane, apparently they're notorious for never cleaning them. So now it's just stuck in my head that I can never get that again. Another thing that I always have to have on the airplane is Haribo, the twin snakes. Always have to get them. It's like ridiculously expensive. It's like $6.50 for the bag. I still get them. It's part of the vibe. I didn't get to get those on my trip this time because I was running so late. So naturally my brain went to, okay, well the plane's gonna go down because I didn't get to partake in my little weird synchronicities that I have to fly. But the good news is the plane didn't go down. So the last thing I wanna say about the planes, just about air travel in general. It's interesting when we are on the ground and we go out on a date, or we go out with friends, family, and we go to a restaurant, we have a meal. You know, it's intimate, it's a connection. You are really having an experience with someone, right? It's like quite a bonding experience to share a meal with somebody. Has anyone else noticed that it's quite awkward eating on the plane next to the person that you're sitting next to? I don't know if it has something to do with the fact that your elbows are literally touching, or your face is probably about 6 inches from theirs. You are like trying so hard not to touch them anymore. So you're like forming these weird little T-Rex hands so that your elbows don't touch for a 27th time. It's just very intimate. I just find it very awkward, you know? And then also like, I always get embarrassed about what I order. So usually I'll just do like one meal and I always just go for the veggie option because I don't know, just meat on a plane just... That's not gonna cut it for me. But damn, they were like pumping out the meals on that plane. Like the last flight that I took was 15 hours from Auckland to Dallas, which I usually fly into. But this time I flew into San Fran. So it was only 12 hours. I think it was just under 12 hours, but we still had 4 meals. So I just got the one meal, but it was still just so incredibly awkward. I felt like, you know, here I am sitting next to this guy. I don't even know his name. And I'm just like, okay, this is our first time eating together. Like, what's your favorite color? When am I going to meet your parents, you know? At the end of the flight, there were no words spoken, really, to me, with me and this guy or the person sitting in it. And it's always the way. You never say anything to the people that you're sitting next to. But for some reason, when you land and you're waiting for everyone to shimmy off the plane, that's when you share your life story. That's when you're like, so, what brings you to San Fran? What are you up to? What do you do for a living? Every time. Didn't speak for the whole 11 and a half hours, but let's do it real quick. Let's share life stories within 45 seconds before we depart this plane. And then let's awkwardly bump into each other at baggage. And then how about you awkwardly help me get all 3 of my very large bags? Yeah. Let's do that. So I had a 4-hour layover in San Francisco. And first of all, I love San Francisco. I love the airport. It's just a nice change of pace, shall I say, than some of the others. As soon as I got in and I got through customs and all that bullshit, I obviously needed a caffeinated beverage and something to eat. So I was kind of walking through and I went and got just a clam chowder, you know, as you do. And then I saw this little cube thing in the corner that said Cafe X. And I was like, oh, Cafe X. If you don't know what they are robotic coffee bars. I'm pretty sure that they might only be in the San Francisco airport. It's just like this cube. It's like a black cube and it's got plexiglass around it. Like, looks very space agey, very futuristic. There's a white big robotic arm inside that's the thing that prepares your coffee. There's like these 3 iPads out the front. You scan the QR code and you order from your phone, pay from your phone. From memory, I think it was like they had like draft nitro, cold brew. You could do like an iced latte, they had matcha, they were even doing like flat whites and lattes and shit. A bit scary, to be honest, because the one that I saw in Seattle, which I don't know if it's actually a Cafe X or if it's a different brand or whatever, but same sort of thing, it's a robot making your coffee, and this shit was pouring tulips and rosettas and swans and like symmetrically perfect. Like, it's actually a little bit terrifying if you think about it. But yeah, so they've got like multiple things that you can order and you just order on the iPad. And so I ordered, I think it was like a cold brew with oat milk and honey. It was like some honey oat milk cold brew thing. Like, it seemed like the safest thing to get. And I watched it make it. And it was quite crazy to watch. It was just like a weird experience, but kind of interesting. Like, I kind of liked it, I think. And if I had to rate the coffee, like, it wasn't bad. I will say it wasn't like the strongest cold brew. Like, I'm kind of used to more of like a concentrate level, maybe not a full concentrate, like punch you in the face, but you know, just like a touch concentrate-y. So I did find it to be a little bit diluted for my liking, but I'm going to be honest, like, it wasn't bad. Like, it wasn't horrible. And the whole process, like, from ordering was pretty seamless. And then after you order and you submit your payment, and then what happens is on the iPad, your name will pop up when it's making your beverage. And so it makes your beverage, hands it off to you. There's like robots doing like a little weird wave thing. I don't know. It was just very, I don't know. If you're ever in the San Francisco airport, be sure to go check it out. Robotic coffee bars, San Francisco airport, not sponsored. Anyway, how the hell are ya? How you guys doing? As you can see, I'm wearing my Coffee Supreme socks, you know, just trying to keep it festive. These are actually the socks that were stuffed into my Chemex to stop it from breaking. So There's a lot of things happening. I'm not going to really get into just like everything mechanics, I guess, if you will, of why I'm here. But I just know that this is like the perfect move for Hospa Bimbo. The last time that I was home at the start of the year, I just had all these kind of like opportunities and things that were kind of falling into my lap that are in line with what I want to do with the podcast and with video and just all those sorts of things. So things started just happening right before I came back. So I landed my first freelance job. I get to go back to Joshua Tree to film and to stay at this amazing Airbnb. So I'll be there for a week, in a couple of weeks. I'm so fucking excited. And then I've got a couple of other podcast interviews that actually will require me to travel. And I'm just like, well, hot damn. Hot damn. Anyways, just lots of things happening in forms of content creation and video and podcasting. And this is exactly what I needed. You know, I was feeling like New Zealand, I had outgrown it a little bit. Not to say in a douchey way, but because I by no means am a professional or anything like that. Still quite an amateur. But just to really like throw myself out there and get further along, like this is exactly what needed to happen, and shit's just already happening. So I'm at mom's house. I will be here for a week, and then Brittany flies in, your all's favorite Brit. We're gonna be doing some other stupid shit, but she's actually flying in. She's hopping in the truck with me, and we're going on a bit of a road trip. So I'm very excited to share some little bits and pieces of that. I can't wait to stop along at some diners and some coffee shops and just to get back to fucking Joshua Tree, to be honest. Like, just to get back and film and make coffees. It's the start of summer here. This is the best time to be in America. It's such a good time to come home. I just feel really overwhelmed with just emotions, but also just really a sense of excitement for what's to come in the future. Speaking of in the future, next weekend I'm also heading out before Britt and I go off on our road trip. We are going to be staying at Nikki's house. And I was thinking about Nikki the other day, and I had a note. I've got this, like, little iPad here. That's what I'm reading off my notes. I was thinking about her the other day. So anytime that somebody says something stupid, or if I have an idea for an episode, I'll just pop it in, like, my notes folder. And I had a note in here about the last time that Nikki and I were at Cheesecake Factory. Listen, Cheesecake Factory, it's like a guilty pleasure. The portion sizes are insane. The calorie count is insane. I love that you can find the calorie count on literally anything in America, on all the menus. The menu is the size of a Bible. It's extremely large. The portions are extremely large, and it's incredibly delicious. If you haven't had the fried macaroni and cheese balls, I don't know what the fuck you're doing. And also, I will say that the cocktails are kind of good. Sue me. But anyways, if you've been in a Cheesecake Factory, obviously every American probably has, but Kiwi listeners, maybe not. You know, they've got a quite an interesting little setup in there. So she's just like looking around, eating the bread. And she's like, how about the architecture in here, though? Fucking idiot. So right before I left New Zealand, I was kind of in this weird in-between period. So I didn't really know what I was going to do. I was trying to like do Hospital Bimbo things, but I just had a lot going on like mentally and just personally. So anyway, I ended up getting a job, and I'm not going to say where or who I was working for just for confidentiality, but I was working at this really old hotel. It had to have been, I'm sorry about the noise if you can hear that in the background. It had to have been one of the strangest, most beautiful experiences that I've had in such a short amount of time. The first thing that threw me off, like, obviously, you know, without sounding like a prick, but I've come from quite a bougie coffee background, I will say. Like, I've had my fair share, you know, working in the diners and working for Starbucks and things like that in the way, way, way past. But I've also had my time. I've gotten my black belt. I've done the time in third wave coffee, specialty coffee. And to go from that environment, to go from like a, you know, New Zealand cafe culture, strong emphasis on espresso and, you know, the quality of it, the extraction, the process, like everything needs to be perfect. Everything's dialed, everything's tight. To then go to, you know, an old hotel where, yeah, I'm food and beverage, working in the restaurant, but it's a little sussy, you know, little sussy. It's not, it's by no means the caliber that I've come from. So that was very interesting to encounter. I remember my first day, I was just like, I can't do this. I was just a little bit worried. But then what ended up happening is I was kind of showing people, you know, how to better pull a shot, the importance of dialing in shots, about, you know, just a little bit of coffee knowledge, like basic coffee knowledge. And people actually took an interest, which was nice to see. And like, to be honest, the coffee was such a small portion of that job, but it was just, it was strange. It was a very strange time, but also like very beautiful, because the people that I worked for, my manager that I had there, genuinely one of the best human beings I've ever met in my life. Like, I have never had a manager that was that cool and like so down to earth, so genuine. Every single person in that hotel, regardless of department, was there for that man because he is amazing. His partner is also amazing, who also works there. I just became really, really close with them. So at the end of it, I was really, really sad to leave, to be honest. Like, I really, really enjoyed my time there, and I really enjoyed getting to know them and just working in a different facet of hospitality, kind of exploring the hotel side. I have worked for, you know, the Hilton before, but primarily I was working in the coffee shop, so I wasn't really seeing all the different sides of the hotel business. But I think because this was more of a small boutique hotel, I got to be a little bit more involved with all areas. So that was really interesting. And I kind of dig hotels, to be honest. Like, it's, you know, in a restaurant, you're all a part of the same team, whether you're a busser, a chef, barista, you know, runner, waitress, whatever, you're all kind of working off of the same wheel there. And same thing for a hotel, but there's just so many different departments, and the departments are so vastly different, but you're all working towards the same goal. But most of the time, you don't see those people. You just see them sort of in passing. I'm going to have to get a job eventually, once I get to where I'm going, probably in the next few weeks after I finish up these other little freelancy things. And I might go to a hotel. I don't know. Because I want to get a job that's going to allow me to keep doing this. I've got a lot of things planned for the rest of the year, so I need something that's going to be a little bit fluid, a little bit more lax, you know. I'm not trying to do that fucking corporate bullshit. Oh, we got you contracted to 40 hours, but you're going to be doing 100. You don't ever get a day off. You know, I'm not going to be doing any of that. Long story short, hotels, it's a vibe. I'm very excited to catch up with Britt, because I think we did actually record another episode the last time I was here back at Christmas time, but we were just drinking and it didn't really have a flow. So I think we're going to try again. But what I'm most excited about to see Britt is that we are just going to be literally driving for about 12 hours in a truck, just exploring the US of A. And I just can't wait to capture some of those cuisine and bevy moments with her, because that's going to be good. So like I said, in about 2 weeks' time, I will be flying down to Joshua Tree. I literally cannot wait for that. I have, there's two podcast episodes that I was going to try and do while I was down there. But to be honest, most of the time, I'm just going to be filming. And that is, like I've said before, partly the reason that I haven't been able to be so proactive with the podcast. But also majority of the reason for the podcast lagging is that I just really lacked the inspiration in New Zealand. Like, I love New Zealand. I love New Zealand hospo culture. But I just really, I needed to come back to, you know, where it all began and where I feel inspired. I don't want to sound woo-woo, but the opportunities were like at one point just literally kind of like falling into my lap, luring me back to the States. And I just didn't have that in New Zealand. It was far more challenging. I'm excited to finally just lean into this chaos and just be like, all right, yes, yes, I will do this. Yes, I want to go talk to that person. Yes, I want to get on a plane and go work at that bar for a night and interview this guy. Like, that sort of shit gets me so fucking excited. So that is what I'm here to do. I am here to blow this shit up. Also, Hospo Bimbo turns 3 next week. I've got a little thing planned for y'all, so stay tuned for that. It's fucking wild to me that this is 3 years old, that this has been happening for 3 years. I feel incredibly excited. There's no other way to really put it. I just feel like there's not enough hours in the day because I have so many things I don't want to do. YouTube has started to take off a little bit for me. So again, I always try to like follow where the growth is happening. And right now, slash for the last 6 months, I would say YouTube has been that for me. So I want to try and film the podcast as much as possible so that I can slice it up and put that onto both Instagram and YouTube. But the Joshua Tree Airbnb video that I did is by far my best performing video on YouTube. And that's actually how I landed this other job that I got, was somebody else encountered that, and that led to another opportunity. So two opportunities came from that video. I've got to follow that lead. Like, I've got to keep pursuing that. So, and that's the content that I really, really like producing, is unique stays, traveling, hospitality, bit of coffee in there, all meshing into one. However, the podcast is going to keep, that is, needs to be a priority again. So there were a few people in New Zealand that I really wanted to meet with before I left. And I know that they're going to be listening to this, so you know who you are. And I'm so sorry that we didn't get the opportunity to meet. Shit just got a bit too chaotic, a bit too fucking frantic with the timing and things, but I'm thinking that we might be able to swing sort of like a virtual episode, which would be great. But I'll let you guys know. But I just did not have any time. Got a lot planned coming up. I'm very excited. And I feel like year three, I'm just like ready to go balls to the wall. I'm just like, fuck it. I don't care. I don't give a damn anymore. I do not give a damn. There is one person that I really look up to that I've talked about a bit on my Instagram page that I want to interview as well. Because I think with Hospo Bimbo and what it's kind of evolved into, it's also built this community of other content creators that, not just content creators, but like food and hospitality content creators, like Food and Bev. I think it's really interesting to hear from those people just on the side of content creation and what all goes into that, and like a bit more of a behind the scenes look at, you know, what it's actually like to create content and what that workload looks like. Because I think, like I've said before, like we're just so used to just scrolling on our phones and just seeing things in a blip that it's really hard to fully understand and grasp the work and the amount of time and effort that goes into creating those things and why we create those things, and just the way that social media is constantly changing and how do you possibly keep up and like where do you draw the line and blah blah blah. So I'm hoping that he's going to be able to come out. He's supposed to be meeting me in Joshua Tree, but we'll stay tuned for that. Regardless, I'm going to get him on the podcast anyways, whether he likes it or not. It's just fascinating to me. I love meeting with other content creators that I like truly genuinely look up to. So on coffee, I think I was literally in the States for 24 hours before I was like, okay, I need an oat milk supplier. I need a coffee supplier. Who the fuck am I gonna go to? Obviously, in New Zealand, I grew very fond of All Good oat milk. I love All Good in general, overall, but then also Boring oat milk. Like, Boring oat milk just became my best friend, and it was very hard to leave that. And then also I had, you know, my coffee suppliers. I grew really close with Wolf Coffee Roasters, obviously Flight, but Wolf, I'm gonna miss them so incredibly much. I ordered like 3 bags before I left. That goddamn Columbia. If you're listening right now and you are in New Zealand and you have not ordered their Columbia coffee, please go online right now and order it, because I don't know how long it's going to be around for, and it is easily top three coffees I have had in a very long time. That just reminded me that another really good coffee that I had while I was here in the States was Black and White Coffee Roasters, which I think they're based in North Carolina, but that's where, I don't know if that's actually where they're based, but that's where I bought the bag, so I'm going to order from them. But I did order some coffee from Onyx. The funny thing about Onyx is that I see their shit all over Instagram, right? The packaging, beautiful, stunning, like comes in a beautiful box. It's like etched, pastel colors. Their branding is really nice. It's just one of those things that you see everywhere. But I wasn't actually sure if it was really gonna live up to its name. So I still have not had the coffee. But when I was talking to Albert from Daily Daily on our episode back from the K Road series, we did talk about Onyx, and I asked him, I remember asking him, like, does it live up to the hype? And he was like, yeah, it does. So I'm very excited because it's not cheap. It's not cheap. We all know that coffee prices are going up, and for good reasons. For good reasons. I'm going to say it louder for the people in the back. If you're complaining about the price of coffee, do your research for good reasons. Okay? So I did order not one, but two boxes of Onyx. I got some cold brew. They have like a cold brew blend specifically for cold brew. And I also got a toddy. I ordered a toddy from Amazon. I'm really excited to try that out because, as you guys know, my cold brew method has literally been just putting the coffee in a big ass mason jar and having that steep overnight. And then obviously like steeping it out takes me so freaking long because I literally steep out the coffee through a Chemex. I'm gonna try out the toddy. If you have used the toddy cold brew maker, I would love to know your experience. So let me know, send me a message. But it seems pretty easy, and I make quite a large amount. So that seemed like the best option for me. So I got a toddy that's gonna be coming from Amazon. And then yeah, those two blends from Onyx, which I'm excited. And I also ordered some wave filters for my origami dripper, which I'm very pleased about because I haven't been able to use it because I realized I didn't have the the little stand, like the little wooden stand that the dripper sits in. So I got one of those stands, the filters, two boxes of coffee. So hopefully that arrives before I take off on the road trip next Friday. One thing I will say about just coffee content creation and whatnot, it's really hard to keep up with the amount of weird trends with coffee. You know, obviously social media, everyone's trying to get the views, everyone's trying to get the watches, the likes, the follows, the subscribes. At what point are we going too far? You know what I mean? The last biggest craze that I was seeing all over Instagram, everyone was doing an orange juice with espresso. And I was like, I can kind of see it because, you know, cold brew with some sparkling water and an orange is nice, you know, depending on what your beans are. But like, generally speaking, like cold brew, sparkling water and some orange, perfect. However, would I order an orange juice with espresso? I don't know about that. And then the last thing I saw was this guy was pulling a shot and he put jalapenos in his portafilter. He put jalapenos on top of the coffee in the portafilter and extracted it. And I'm just like, really? Is this what we're doing? Is this really what we're doing? Like, what next? Where are we going next with this? Like, where do we go from here? We've got OJ and espresso. We're putting jalapenos in our portafilter. What's that doing to your machine? What's that doing to your insides is what I'd like to know. However, I say that and I literally created a video making cereal milk iced lattes, so... Are we just bored as coffee content creators? Are we just like, okay, what can I fucking do now? What can I do now? I say this, but literally when I was at Disneyland, I was seriously contemplating making an AeroPress at Cinderella's castle. I'm gonna make an AeroPress at the castle and I'm gonna film it and it's gonna be a great video. It's gonna be fucking amazing. It's gonna be fucking great. I was like, okay, this is what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna bring my AeroPress into Disneyland and I'm gonna bring some hot water and I'm gonna make an AeroPress at Cinderella's castle and I'm gonna film it. And that video is gonna go off. Like, and at that point I was hearing myself, okay, we need to chill out. We need to stop. We need to pump the brakes here. Like, that's when you know that you're falling a little bit onto the dark side. I mean, to be honest, I still kind of do want to do that. I mean, that's why I love the AeroPress, is that you can literally just brew a beautiful ass cup of coffee anywhere. This show is brought to you by AeroPress. No, it's not. Just kidding. Maybe. Hopefully someday. I do really like that idea. So that is probably something that I might start implementing, is just like brewing AeroPress coffees in random places. But yeah, I just had a moment where I was like, Cass, come on, girl. We ain't gonna do that. No, no, no. It's crazy when you, with coffee content creation and, you know, trying to, because obviously this is a business. I mean, I do want this to be a business. I do want Hospo Bimbo to be something that I can do full time and actually make money off of. And, you know, it's slowly getting there. Slowly but surely. Which, speaking of, if you are enjoying the show, please consider supporting the show by heading to buymeacoffee.com/hospobimbo. For the price of a long black, you can help support me by keeping me on air. Did that work? But genuinely, please, every little bit helps, because I've said this before, but just the subscription side of things, just to keep things like this running, Adobe Suite is constantly just raping me every single day with how much it costs to literally use two platforms on there. And I've had multiple conversations with people that being like, you should just switch to DaVinci Resolve, or you should switch to Final Cut Pro. And yes, but then I need Photoshop, or I need Lightroom. You know, there's just always something that you need where you still have to pay. Yeah, but goddamn, it's so goddamn expensive. So to me, I will be winning if one day I get to a point where all my subscriptions are being paid for somehow, some way through Hospo Bimbo, to the point that I can just be like, okay, I'm not technically making any money, but my subscriptions are paid for, therefore I'm feeling pretty good. And we're almost there. We are almost there. So I'm happy about that. So on my last day in New Zealand before I left, I did decide I needed to go somewhere to get some really yummy food. So I went to the candy shop, and I knew about the candy shop because David Lee, the guy who created it, I think he's actually got a few different restaurants now, but he was quite heavily into the AeroPress championships. He was always at the competitions. I think he even might have won one of the competitions before. I could be wrong, but such a lovely guy, like so happy all the time, so knowledgeable in coffee, like amazing with coffee. And so it was always on my list to go. And so I went with Alex, and we got brunch there. It was really good. Like I can't believe I'm going to say this, because I always make fun of Eggs Benedict. You know what I'm saying. I fully support the idea of cafes just eliminating Eggs Benedict just as a whole. Like, we don't need Eggs Benedict anymore. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's think a little bit more outside the box, okay? There's nothing worse than, like, when a fucking tradie comes in and he's like, I'll have the Eggs Benny, please, with bacon. Before you even have a chance to be like, hey, how are you? Can I get you guys started with some drinks? It's just Eggs Benny with bacon. Like, goddamn. Let's branch out. But anyway, we got the Eggs Benedict there because it was really interesting. It had, like, I think it was, like, pickled cucumber and... oh, I don't even remember what else was on it, but it was really nice. It was a nice spin on Eggs Benny. And I got a long black, beautiful coffee. I also got an iced matcha to take away, which was very nice. But just the aesthetic and overall vibe of that place. And I think the other two, I think there's another two locations. Really, really beautiful. Like, if you get the chance, if you are in Auckland, if you are in Newmarket, I highly recommend that you go check out the candy shop. David Lee, great guy. I think, yeah, my biggest challenge being home is I just need to now find all the good spots. I need to know where should I be ordering coffee, where I need an oat milk supplier. So if anyone wants to slide in my DMs, there actually is a really cool oat milk thing that I found. Just gonna look it up because I forgot. Ghost Town World. I'm gonna be honest, like I immediately was drawn to the oat milk because of the box. I don't know if you guys can see. You know, it's pink, it's cute, kind of reminds me of All Good, just the way that it's shaped. Made by baristas, it's always what you want to see. But yeah, I'm just excited to see how plant-based milk evolves and what it's like in the States, because I feel like there's a lot more variety over here. So I'm really excited to try that out. So I'm gonna try and get a box of that. But if anybody else knows of any really, really good oat milks, please let me know. You know, I'm not trying to do the Kobani or the fucking, like, all the soya or whatever it's called. Like, no. I want to support a small business, somebody who is doing epic shit and they're making great ass oat milk. So let me know. And then also for a coffee supplier, obviously I've ordered some coffee from Onyx. I don't think I'll be able to sustain that because it's quite expensive. I also have yet to try it, so depending on how it tastes, I'm sure it's going to taste beautiful. But I think Black and White Coffee Roaster is obviously another favorite. But if anybody knows of anything else I should be trying, please let me know. I'm also interested in maybe doing like a subscription of some sort to try different roasters. But yeah, I'm keen to get my coffee set up. That will probably not happen until I settle down. So I'm going to be on the road for about, I'm going to be pretty transient for the next like 2-3 weeks. So, but after that time, that's when we need to settle down. That's when we need to start getting serious. We need to take the next step in the relationship and build out our coffee bar. So that is very high on my priority.
We interrupt this program for a very important public service announcement to all visitors of local coffee shops, cafes, and just coffee consumers in general. Please, your undivided attention is much appreciated.
All right, I'm going to tell you something real quick, okay? I'm going to tell you something because I care about you and I don't want you out there making a fool of yourself anymore. So let's just come in close because this is really important. So two things. Number one, just because you order a large coffee at your favorite cafe, you know, I'm not talking about a drip or a cold brew or an Americano, because sometimes Americanos can be an exception, I will say, if it's iced, you know, I will say. However, if you're ordering a cappuccino or a flat white or a latte, just because you're ordering a large doesn't mean that there's more coffee in it. Doesn't mean that it's got more espresso. Okay. No. It's just got more milk. Yeah. You're getting more milk. So when you come in and you're like, you know what, make it a large, I need it today. TGIF, I need it. Give me a large. You're getting more milk. Yeah, you're getting more milk. You need some milk. And the second thing, because usually these people fall hand in hand, there is no X in the word espresso. Not one. No, it's actually espresso. E-S-P-R-E-S-S-O. Espresso. I'm gonna need you to take that knowledge and do with it what you will, but you know, it might save a life. So please feel free to share this message to anyone that might need to hear it. This is random, this is sporadic, but I will say it's been an emotional ride. It's been bittersweet to leave New Zealand, but I'm excited for the new chapter. I'm excited for the challenges because Lord knows there's gonna be some challenges. But also, I don't think I know how to live in America anymore. I don't think I know how to be a server here anymore. I don't think I know how to make coffee here anymore if that is the route that I choose. I really don't know where I'm gonna find myself working. Like I said, like I just kind of want a job that's gonna be able to sustain Hospo Bimbo and allow me the fluidity that I need to be able to travel and to keep doing this. So I probably will end up being a server, because if you are a server in America or if you've ever served here, you know that money can be made here. Like the amount of money that you can make in tips is just stupid. It's stupid. Yes, you still gotta hustle for it. Depending on where you are, your wage can be anywhere from like $2 an hour to $7 an hour. So you really do have to bank on those tips, but you could be going home with $1,500 a night in tips, cash, tax-free. You know, worst case scenario, you have to get 10% back to the restaurant, but like that's money in your pocket, baby. What are you making at your desk job? Probably $15 an hour, taxed. You hate it. You don't get to meet new people because you're in a cubicle. Like there are so many wonderful things about hospitality that I admire, that I love, that I can't wait to get back to. There's no shame in it. It's just fucking beautiful. It's beautiful when it works. It's beautiful when you're working it, when you're just doing the dance. You're just on the floor and you're just flitting around like a little bird, just going around to all your tables, meeting new people, making connections with your customers, becoming really, really good mates with the chefs. That's one thing that I really love about starting a new hospo job. You know, it's always a bit challenging. It's always a bit scary because you're starting from the beginning. You gotta earn the respect, especially from the kitchen crew. You know, I feel like it's a little bit easier to earn, I don't want to say easier because it's still challenging to earn the respect of your, you know, coworkers on the floor. But when it comes to the kitchen staff and the chef, like when you get that love, when you earn that, when all of a sudden you have a meal that's just put in front of you, you didn't even ask for it. That's when you know, you're like, man, I've made it. I've made it. I'm loved. And at the end of the day, that's all we want, is just to be loved. Am I right? So what a beautiful milestone that is, to earn the respect of a chef, to get a meal in front of you. It's just, it's music. It's magic. Anyway, that is going to do it for this episode. I'm sorry, it's a bit of an update for you all. But stay tuned. Please, if you aren't following me already, head over to YouTube. I'm going to be posting a lot of video on there. That's where most of my time is going to be going. But also, you can be expecting a lot more reels from me on Instagram. And I'm going to go back to producing a new podcast episode every 2 weeks. These next few weeks are going to be a bit crazy just with traveling and work. But once I settle down, we will go back to our regular scheduled programming of every 2 weeks, coming to you Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. But until then, that is Chairs Up for now. Thanks for tuning in, and I will see you in the next one. This podcast is recorded and produced by me, Cassie Rogers. If you are enjoying the podcast, please make sure to go follow me on Instagram and on YouTube. You can find me there at Hospo Bimbo. If you'd like to support the show, head to buymeacoffee.com/HospoBimbo. For the price of a drip coffee, you're helping keep me on air. Every single contribution goes directly back into the production of the podcast, recording gear, filming gear, and keeping up with these subscriptions. Thank you guys so much for all the support, and buckle up for some heinous American activity coming your way soon. Bye!